Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing? Welcome to Nighthawks Radio. We own the night. I'm your host, Coach Epps, along with my co-host, Coach Coop.
Good evening, everyone.
Oh, Coach Coop, we're here back for another week. Blessed to be here.
Oh, definitely. Definitely blessed to be here, Coach, especially here with you. You looking mad and dapper. In case anybody out there in the land would like to know what you're wearing, I'm not going to tell them, but you look all right tonight. You know, people don't get a chance to see you, but they hear you on the line, on the air, and probably wondering, you know. But I'll tell them, you know, you're about 350, right? 350 pounds, is that right, Coach?
Oh, no, 278.
Okay, I was a little off a little bit, but don't worry about it. I just wanted to give the, you know, our fans a little visual as to, you know what you look like with the peg leg and, the, you know, the one eye and, you know, the whole nine yards.
Right. I totally understand. But long as I'm here, Coach, it's always a good thing. The day's Thursday, Coach, you know, March the 19th, 2009. Do you know what's coming up on Saturday?
Well, I know what's coming up on Saturday, Coach. It's going to be a great event, and let's talk about that for a second. And I know we usually move that segment about halfway through, but it's the great Pink Ribbon Bowl, Coach, the Pink Ribbon Bowl. I think I'm up to two carts of groceries.
I know that's right, Coach. We hosting our first annual Pink Ribbon Bowl event here in Baltimore, Maryland. We're kicking off against the DC Divas here, Coach. Fantastic time we're going to have on Saturday. All to raise good money for Cure for Cancer, for breast cancer awareness. It's going to be an exciting show, Coach.
Oh, no question about it, Coach. You got a great team from DC coming in, going up against a hard-hitting Baltimore team. This is like a little preseason. They will see each other in the upcoming weeks, and it's going to be a good matchup. I know a lot of players will be being looked at by their coaches and fine-tuning everything before the season gets kicked off, but it's also a great event with a great cause of Susan G. Komen and B. Gaddy Foundation, two great causes, and I hope everyone come out and participate, and also participate in that possible $10,000 football toss, Coach. As you know, if they just bring one non-perishable canned good, they get a chance, they get a raffle, and they get a chance to throw that ball and possibly win $10,000. I'm personally going to take a break, so if you don't see me doing a halftime talk, I'm going to change my little disguise and see if I can get out and possibly win that $10,000. Because you know, these economic times, Coach, I definitely could use it.
I know what you mean, Coach, but we're going to give away $10,000, and that's going to be a great thing. So we're going to have an exciting show here coming up on Saturday here in Baltimore, Maryland. And we're going to get to the topic of the night, Coach.
Yeah, Coach, it's a great topic. I've been talking with a number of people around town and just kind of getting a feel. You know, a lot of things are going on with sports franchises all across the country. And, you know, economic times are bad right now. Companies are being laid off. But a question came to me as to whether or not it would be beneficial for cities to own their own sports franchise as opposed to owners owning the team. What do you think about that, Coach?
That's real interesting, Coach. I mean, you're talking about the city itself owning its own franchise or rights to a football team, and that mean, I guess, for all intents and purposes, I guess the athletes would be on city payroll.
I guess that's a good idea. It could be a bad idea. That's why we've opened this up to discussion. We're going to talk about this tonight. I mean, we remember way back when Ursay moved the Colts out of Baltimore, and they've been fighting that battle ever since. They packed the team up in the middle of the night, left the stadium empty, and the city was left and didn't have anything to do with have a say as to what was supposed to take place with the franchise. He upped and moved the team in a cowardly fashion in the middle of the night. Took them to Indianapolis, and Baltimore's been trying to fight and trying to get their name back for years. And, you know, they fell in love with the Ravens, but, you know, there's still that few out there, those diehard few, that community, that still, you know, cling to the Baltimore Colts.
Yeah, you're right about that, Coach. It was a snowy night several years back here, and I think Baltimore was devastated, but they have the Baltimore Ravens here now to take some of the pressure off of the memories of the Colts, but it was a lonely night.
It was a lonely night, Coach. And actually, when we went up to had the opportunity, when we were up in at the Football Hall of Fame, They had a little section carved out for the Baltimore Colts, a little postscript. You know, there's the Baltimore Colts, and then there's a distinction with the Indianapolis Colts. It's a shame, but ultimately it's the city that suffers. So it's a question we're posing tonight. Should the cities itself own its own franchise? Should the city not own its franchise, thereby a number of things happening as a result of that? Money's going back into the communities. Money's prices of tickets lower so that families can come to the game and enjoy. Revenue can be generated to go out and to help hospitals, schools, police, fire, those kind of things. And that's our question tonight. Maybe we'll get some great dialogue. We've got another special guest probably calling in. One of the coaches should be calling in a little later tonight. Met him a while back, and he should be should give us a call a little bit later. Maybe he'll chime in with us.
Yeah, Coach, what are you talking about? Let's see. Cities owning their own franchise, Coach. Let's explore this for a second. What do you think some of the pluses from the cities owning his own franchise?
Well, like I said, Coach, a couple of things. I mean, right now, if we look at the prices of tickets to go to a game, I know if take the Baltimore Orioles, for example. We're here in Maryland. But to take a family down there, a family of four, first you got to start with the parking. That's going to cost you $20. Then once you get into the game, that's going to cost you on average, if you don't get the nosebleeds, you know, seats, you know, section 500 or section 900, you're going to be paying on average maybe $60 a ticket. So a family of four, that's $240 right there. That's $260 right there, and you haven't even sat down, got a hot dog or a souvenir or a popcorn. So when you look at those kind of prices, it's kind of outrageous, and it's difficult for a family to survive. With that, families are not going to those games, and it's being marketed to those who can afford it, the most rich, the powerful, and half the time, they don't even show up to the game, so they're really not even true fans. So I'm thinking that if the cities were to embrace that, control it themselves, you know, they could control ticket prices, control player price salaries. I understand this is a free enterprise, but it definitely could be a benefit. You wouldn't have to worry about teams being uprooted in the middle of the night, tax breaks for people to come in. I mean, there's a number of avenues, and this may not just take one show, Coach. It may be something we may need to explore further.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. But I think one of the major plus for a city owning his own team would be far as the athletes, Coach. I mean, they'll have a vested interest in the city that they come from. I mean, the trades won't be so prevalent like it is in the NFL, where it seems to be no loyalty in the NFL these days.
No question about that, Coach. And again, I mean, we talk about the old Colts franchise because you hear from the elders in the community that how at the end of the season they could walk into a grocery store and see that these guys were, doing part-time jobs. I mean, some of them are having illness problems now because they didn't have the kind of money back there to support their bodily injuries over the years. But, that kind of sport or any sport, I'm not opposed to a decent salary, but when you're talking $25 million, $30 million to play a sport, and it's just outrageous. To me, it's outrageous. And I think that whole dynamics need to be changed to where we need to explore whether or not the cities themselves should be the benefactors of that.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct, Coach. Like I said, it has a lot of pros, and it has probably a few cons with it, because if the city controls the actual team, how do you think salaries would be?
Well, Coach, let me put it to you this way. I'm the owner. You come to me. You're a great star. I'll even give you a college degree. I'll give you a master's degree, Coach. Now, in the market, you'll probably do maybe $150,000 a year. And that's if you're at the top of your game. But to come to me and play sports, I'll give you three times that. I'll give you three times that to play the game of sports. And remember, you're only playing partially throughout the year. And if you are not acceptable to that, guess what, Coach? Go get your $140,000 a year job and be happy. I think that if that's enough, that's more than the average man. You're still going to have an opportunity to play the sport that you love. But at the same token, and it's enough to survive. And if you're not happy with that kind of salary, I think that you would be better off just going to your discipline in college or whatever you majored in, and hopefully getting to that plateau of $150,000 a year salary, hopefully. And you know, there's not that many of those jobs out there, Coach. So the competition is even tighter.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. We have a caller on the phone from area code 443. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. How you doing, Coach?
I'm good, Coach Epson, and you?
Oh, I'm doing great. How you feeling tonight? This is Coach Kevin, part of the Baltimore Nighthawks staff, joining in on the talk tonight on Blog Radio. Coach, what do you think about the topic for tonight?
I've been listening to what you guys have been saying, and the only thing that I would chime in at this time and say is that you are taking the initiative of the team owner away. Someone who, I don't know, probably out there making a fairly decent salary but decides that they want to get into the sports arena and become a team owner. Now, this person is putting up money and trying to develop something and build this thing over the years to become something huge for them to make them to be able to retire from their job. If the team is owned by the city, then you take a possible entrepreneur out of the arena.
Well, Coach, I'm not opposed to free enterprise. Don't get me wrong, but I'm thinking in the take out economic times right now. People are losing their jobs all over the place. And if you were an owner, and let's just say you got your millions out of it that you were happy with, now you decided you no longer wanted that franchise, and you find other investors to invest in your team and subsequently buy you out and subsequently move the team, where does that leave the city? Where does that leave the loyal fans? Where does that leave the children who want to be a part of that sport, to look up to some of their idols? But at the same time, that's revenue that's coming into the city to you, whether it be tickets, parking, you know, the city will get some portion of that, but then you decide to take all that away and go. I just have an issue with that.
Well, I tell you, you bring up an interesting point. But the point that is, over the years and down the road, who is to predict what the future will be? Who's to say?
Well, Coach, when you look at, you got some of the longtime greats, you know, you got the George Halas family that controlled the Chicago Bears, you know, ever since its inception from the league, and you got, the family still owning the team. You know, you don't have, I mean, that's a loyal franchise. I mean, I think if that team was to move out of Chicago, I think they would basically hunt the Halas family down no matter where they are and hang them in effigy. But, you know, look, I mean, we talk about the Ursays that move the team out of the city. But you've still got, like, Wellington Merrill from, I believe it was the part owner with the Giants. I mean, up until his death, you know, he still owned it. But or the Bidwell family with the St. Louis Cardinals, who eventually moved him out. Other than probably Mr. Rooney up in Pittsburgh, who is so ingrown to that city, it's a staple for the city. I don't ever foresee that team moving, but if something was to happen where that family would lose that, someone can easily come along and take that franchise right out of there.
Well, I tell you, if that's the case, let's say your term has run its course, you're tired, you're ready to move on, and you do sell. You can sell most of the interest in the team and maintain some interest at the same time, and the investors that comes in to purchase that team, you can remain part owner, and you put a clause in, you know, as a part of the sale, is that they can never move that team out of that city.
Coach, you're kind of quiet over. You're still alive.
Well, I'm just listening to both of you all debate about the different aspects, Coach. I mean, I think both of you have very interesting points of view, but the fact remains is You know, I'm really concerned about how would the city actually budget a multi-million dollar team that's creating million dollar revenue.
Well, let me just say this. I'm not know if you're aware. I think as an example of that, there was a city. I think it was a minor league team down in I believe it was Memphis. I think it was the Redbirds in a ballpark down in Memphis that actually had enough. They went out and they became the owners of the team, and the revenue has gone up. They just got fed up with it, and they basically own the team, where a lot of the revenue is being generated. Well, it goes to the city itself. They're still getting sponsors that are advertising throughout their stadium, which is generating income. And I believe the prices are gone down. I'm looking at an article that was written back in 07 out of this place called FastCompany.com. They talk about the Redbirds and what they were doing with their franchise and how they were changing prices around to accommodate the patrons. I mean, it to me, it's a win-win. I mean, it's a possibility. There's a lot of things that have to change. I just think overall it would be a good thing. I mean, there's a lot of stability that could be there. I think the fanship would grow. I think the revenue would continue to grow because it would be affordable to those who can't afford the game. And especially these times where prices are just outrageously high, sports players' salaries are outrageously high. I just think it's a travesty that we should be paying all this for sport. Grant you me, now I could play the devil's advocate. If I was a player, I want you to pay me. But I think as a whole, I think we want fans, because without the fans, there is no sports star. There is no sports stadium. And we have to appeal to that market.
Well, the city's going to make money one way or another, because you have the private owner that brings this team up, creates it, or however they come about. But now you have this owner that needs a place to play, that needs a place to practice. So you have your city locations that are going to make money some kind of way, irregardless, because as a person bringing the team into the IWFL, let's just say, but, you know, they're not bringing a brand-new stadium in. They're not going to – they're starting from base ground out, so they're not going to have location play, so they're going to need that. So there's going to be revenue. There's going to be money that's going back into the city one way or another.
So would it be a good idea then to partnership with the city as a 50-50 split with the clause that the team cannot be moved out of the city?
Well, 50-50, what does that get me for my 50%? Does that get me a fantastic practice facility, a place to play, you know, that's going to be centralized where transportation is not going to be an issue, you know, folks can get out to the game? What is my 50%? Well, actually, what is giving you 50% as the city mayor or whoever are going to get me?
Well, I mean, I would venture to say that, you know, yes, I mean, I would have no problem. I have to put a facility up to entice people to come there. But I would want a facility that could be used year-round. I would also like a facility to be utilized to draw people to, you know, the teams that you're bringing in, and that you would be able to make a decent profit, but that it would be affordable to the people coming to the games, and that the players would be able to make a great salary, not so outrageous salaries that they're making today, but a great salary, and we pass those savings on to the patrons. I mean, it's a shame that, and I'll give you a case in point. I had the opportunity to go to an Oriole game once, and it was Kids Day, and they paraded the kids around the stadium, and I thought that was a great thing. They got an opportunity to walk on the field. But after that, Coach, they put them up in Section 500. So what can you see as an 8, 10, 12-year-old lover of the game in Section 500? No tension span, no nothing. You know what I mean? To me, they should have been, even if it was for one day, had the opportunity to be down out front to watch the game, that they possibly may aspire to become athletes themselves, to see the game of how it's played out front. But they can't see it from Section 500.
Well, I tell you, as an owner, I would be open, totally open, as a 51% to 49% owner, to have a designated section down near the field, like you're suggesting, that the groups, any child organization or youth organization could come in and utilize that lower section as a courtesy. And I would even be, you know, have to give the section away to a different group each and every home game.
Well, that's great, but that 51% code still gives you that opportunity to move that team out of my city. And that's what I want to be guarded against. You know, and that's the shame. I mean, because you have loyal fans who purchase, you know, tons and tons and tons of paraphernalia, pictures, you name it. It's all throughout their basement. They wear it on their car. And then when you uproot a franchise, you lose all that. I mean, it's just like a bad breakup. It's like a marriage gone bad, Coach.
Speaking personally for myself, and I can't speak for everyone, but myself, I would have no problem whatsoever signing into a contract saying I would never move this team.
Coach, I think we might be able to put some money together and get Pashotti out of here. What do you think?
No, I don't think that's going to happen, Coach. I got a better question for both of you. What do you think about who's going to pay for the facilities? Out of the owner's split, does the taxpayers use their money to pay for the facilities?
Well, go ahead, Coach. I'll let you respond.
Well, I would think that the generated revenue from ticket sales, merchandise sales, as well as concessions, would group all the money, you know, to contribute to that.
Well, I think that those kind of the sales would bring in, as I said before, if I was a city manager, I think the revenue that we would generate from that would have to go back again to afford ticket prices and ticket sales, which are reasonable for families to come out to enjoy the game, because we're always talking about in our communities that the young don't have anything to do, and that's why one of the causes for crime and all these other things. We closed down the recs and centers. We've closed down all these things to budget cuts. But I think if there was a partnership where there was guaranteed movement that you know the franchise wouldn't move out of the city, that the city, or if I was a city manager, I would very strongly consider to not only provide the stadium, the facilities, those things, but and then put the revenue from that back into the city.
Yeah, well, that would be an interesting point. But my question is, the onset of the merger and the partnership of the city going in 50-50 with an independent owner. I'll give you an example. Just like for the Art Modell family of Cleveland moving to Baltimore, the taxpayers had to put up a free lease for the Baltimore Ravens for a certain period of time and had to guarantee Art Modell to build the stadium.
No question.
For them to move in. So, you know, I'm just wondering city tax base are we going to rob to make this type of merger work?
Well, you know, the city, not the hypothetical city that we're talking about now, but a lot of cities, they put a lot of money up front to entice teams to come. You know, they'll pay for the facilities. You know, I mean, look at Washington D.C. with the Redskins. I mean, the city put up a lot of money so that he could build a stadium of his liking, and then had to have certain creature comforts, like Coach Kevin was talking about, to entice him to come there. But at the same time, I think that you got to put the money out to make a franchise go. You have to do that, and I think that's what we're talking about tonight. Should the city do that so that revenue can be in turn sent back into the community to address the needs of the city?
Yeah, Coach, but I mean, let's be honest here. Cities generate, most major metropolitan cities generate millions and millions of dollars, like off things like the lottery. And then they tell you that, okay, if we start the lotto, we're going to generate more millions of dollars to put into the school system. And if we start the scratch off, that's going to be millions of dollars to put into parks and recs. What I'm saying is everybody is putting into different avenues in the city, but it seemed like to me that the city is never growing.
Well, you know, it's just, that's just, that's like the old building fund, Coach. I've been going to my church for over 25 years, and we still got a building fund, and every time I go to look up on that line, Coach, I don't think it moved one inch. And the church is full every Sunday, Coach. So I don't know what's happening, but they got that building fund, and it's not growing. It's going somewhere. But all jokes aside, Coach, I mean, the city has needs. Any city, and I'm just talking about Baltimore, any city has needs to fulfill, and especially in these economic times that we're dealing with now. We're just discussing, you know, avenues, or is it a feasible avenue for cities to own their own franchise? So you have some consistency, you have some generated revenue coming in to take care of various city needs. You have a venue where families can come and enjoy a sports activity, whether it be soccer, baseball, football, you name it, as opposed to only being able to watch it. And the one thing we haven't talked about, Coach, is that, you know, along with these franchises, you know, you got the media that wants to buy it. They want to air the games. So the city can almost predict or bargain or negotiate with those entities to generate even additional revenue. Right now, the revenues are going to the smaller markets, and it's being dispersed throughout the team. Well, like the NFL is being dispersed throughout the market, the team markets, a fair share is going to those franchises because, you know, franchises are big and small. You know, Minnesota's a small market. But there are other large markets, but there's millions and millions and millions of dollars in the media that also can be generated or filtered back into the city where needs could be met.
Yeah. I just feel like it's anything else. You know, you're an inventor. You bring your product. You have to take it. You have to sell it, and somewhere along the line, you have to get folks to back you, buy into your vision. And it has to grow from the infant stages. And I think that as a business person, you ought to be able to sit down and let the dots meet at some point.
Well, take a look at George Steinbrenner. New York City has a history of championships throughout. And there was another team there called the Brooklyn Dodgers. They couldn't compete. They ended up on the West Coast. But you had a strong fan base. There was a great inner-city rivalry there. But that team is no longer there. The Yankees are there because that owner has a commitment. It's just like the Rooney family. He has a commitment. But could you imagine the devastation? Could you imagine the devastation to that city if the New York Yankees was to move to Utah? Could you imagine? Would half the city of New York move to Utah to watch their beloved Yankees?
I think they have a major fight on that.
Hey, I think you're on to something, though, Coach. I think that's a catchy title. Think about it. Utah Yankees?
Maybe we'll go out there and see if we can get a stadium built now.
that would be something. But it's definitely something to use the mind for and ponder on whether it be a good thing or a bad thing. I got another interesting point for you, Coach. Let's just say this city was the owner of a proud professional football team. Okay?
Okay.
Would the city be biased in its choice of athletes? I mean, think about it. You have football players here in Maryland, homegrown. You know, would they be biased by going to Pennsylvania or Texas or the Big Three where they recruit from, Pennsylvania, Texas, or Florida? would they be biased in their selection of choices? Or would they go out and get the best athlete? Would the pressure from the taxpayers come to the city and say that we got some athletes here at home, why are we spending millions of dollars to go recruit people outside of our city and state?
Well, Coach, what I was talking to you about before, when we're talking about a national, we would have to talk about a nationalized system for sports in general, whether it be football, baseball, soccer. And then there would have to be some kind of cap on the salary so that if I decided to go to New York with the exception of living cost of living expenses, and those living expenses are already done by the IRS, so you know every city you go to, you know, you're going to get a little bit more. You travel out of the city, you go to Baltimore, you get $5 for a corned beef sandwich. You go to New York, you get $12 for a corned beef sandwich. So you have to adjust. You know, the markets would have to adjust in the various markets as far as the cost of living with. And that would be the only variant. But the salaries, more or less, I'm thinking on a national system now, that the salary would be the same. The players would still, I would think that the whoever's hired to run that team, to oversee it, would be one, those of credible coaches, and two, would be looking at the talent that fits their system, whatever system. If they've got a system that runs like Belichick, they may not go after T.O. or Randy Moss. They may not want that kind of player. He's a great player, but he could be a cancer to the team. But the salaries would be such that, here's as I alluded to you earlier, that I'm going to pay you three times the average working salary. If that's not good enough for you, Coach, have a nice day.
Yeah, but again, Coach, then you'll get into the avenue of what is fair market value. Because,
well,
I mean, let's face it.
You're talking cattle now, Coach. You're getting back in the old days now. Fair market, put somebody on the block.
Yeah, what I'm saying to you is this. If an owner makes millions and millions of dollars in revenue off of, say, a Terrell Owens, look at the number of fans that buy the jersey. Look at the number of fans buy the caps because of Terrell Owens. I mean, these are things that you can't really equate to a real dollar sign, because it's no way to really monitor how many new fans you're going to get because Terrell Owens is in your town. But what I'm asking you is, undoubtedly, Terrell Owens passed his feet on Sunday. He's a hell of an athlete, Coach. He's a good athlete. But what I'm asking you is, if the owner's making millions and millions and millions of dollars off of this athlete, what is fair market value to that athlete for the owner to get back to him because of him alone? And that's where I think we will get into the avenue, what would be fair market value to these athletes. If somebody is making, say, $78 million off of you alone, Coach, would you think $20 million of that would not be feasible for your pay? Why should the owner make $78 million if you pay me $600,000?
Oh, I have no question about that. And that's what we're talking about now, because we're basically talking about greed, Coach. We're talking about greed, and that's why I was talking about a salary cap, and there would be no outrageous money.
I agree.
There would be no $70 million because there's a flat rate salary. I'm going to pay you $500,000 a year to play football. You don't want to work, you play football for $500,000? Have a nice day.
Well,
let me just finish. Well, you could have incentives, but the thing of it is, it's just like Baltimore Orioles Stadium right now. That place is empty. You can go down and get a seat anywhere. So what good is it? I mean, you rob the people by making them have PSLs or pay for seats with it, you know, and you show the game on TV, and there's nobody in the stands. I mean, you've seen that.
That goes back to Florida.
You've seen that in Minnesota. I'm talking about baseball games and some football games. That there's nobody in the stands. But I guarantee you, if it is affordable, people won't question. Okay, it's a nice day. I'm going to watch the ball game on my TV or my big screen. No, let's get the family out of the house, go down, pay $5 to park, walk into a stadium, $15-$20 max, get my seat, be able to afford trinkets or souvenirs or the big finger, you know, and put it on my hand and root my team on. And, you know, that's my team. I'm going to be there next week. And you got me. And then it's a fight. It's a fight to try to give a ticket. And I'll give you a case in point. there's a team up in Cal Ripken's team up in the Aberdeen, the Aberdeen Orangeburg. Here's a stadium. Now it's privately owned, but here's a stadium that's affordable prices, affordable food, and there's a waiting list. The team has been there since 2005, I believe. No, it's the 6 year, 2004, 2005. And there is still a waiting list. People can't get into the stadium, and the ticket's only $10, $8 to $10. The stadium is packed every night. That's because it's affordable for the community, and that's all I'm saying is that if the prices, I'm not talking about taking money away from the owner because he still can make money because he's got a packed house, and he's paying a flat rate salary with the incentives if we wanted to do that, and with per diem, whatever, if they have to travel. I mean, some of the little things you have to work in, but the base bottom line is, here's your salary. You're not happy with that, and this is all across the country. We've nationalized this. You're not happy with that, go turn hamburgers, cook fries, and good luck if you don't have a college degree because you were still dumb enough to stay in college and pursue your career, and you thought you were going to make it out here in the sports market, which has a short turnaround of playing in the 8 to 10 to 12 years.
Well, if you're going to have that salary cap, that has to be across the board. That has to be every team. It can't just be your city. It has to be every city that has a team that salary cap, because then that way you don't have one team pulling the tug of war back and forth, and where you pay, as Coach brought up, the top-notch player, you have incentives. If you do this much, then you get this much as a bonus, and so on.
Hey, yeah, you got a great point, Coach. Don't want to cut you off. We got a caller from the 301 area code. Seems like we're having trouble with the caller. Caller, are you there?
I don't know. Am I?
Yeah, we had a little echo in the background there, sir. Who is this? Your first name, caller?
This is Nick. This is Nick calling from Baltimore.
Good evening, Nick.
Okay, I'm going to turn my speaker down here, see if this does any better for us. Can you hear me clearly now?
Yes, we can, Nick. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm listening to you discuss the salaries of the players, but I think there's a broader point here. You know, these teams are owned by individuals who make millions and millions of dollars. That's why they can pay the players so much. And very often the city provides land for stadiums and infrastructure, utility lines, all kinds of incentives for these private owners to own these teams and make these millions of dollars. I caught you a little late, so I don't know if this has already come up. But I think we should give some thought to cities in these teams. Can you imagine the millions of dollars that could be poured into the city's coffers to help with schools and to improve neighborhoods if this money wasn't being taken by individuals for their own wealth and satisfaction? I mean, we have a situation similar to what we're talking about with AIG, where these Wall Street scoundrels just take money off the top to put into their own pockets, taxpayers' money, right, which goes to enrich them. And what I'd like us to consider, now that we're taking a look at the way these businesses operate, maybe we ought to take a look at the way sports operates. If cities are going to pour so much money into these teams, as they did in Washington recently, where they took the taxpayers' money, some $3 billion, and paid for a stadium, and the people of the city don't get anything from that. It's in the hands of private owners who then milk the citizens to come and see these games and take that money anywhere they want to. Here in Baltimore, we know we used to have the Baltimore Colts till an owner woke up one day and decided he wanted to move the team to Indianapolis. So I'm saying if the city is going to pay all this money to build these stadiums and provide utilities and water pipes, all that kind of stuff, reroute traffic, maybe the city should own them. And then the enormous profits that are made could go back into the community to help the people who support these teams. What do you guys think about that?
Hey, you know what, Nick? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be the first to tell you, this is Coach Epps here. you're echoing our sentiments, and you did catch the show a little late. We went over all the points that you just went over, but I'm glad you went over it from your own point of view as a caller just tuning into the show, because these are the things that we're talking about. But I've got a question for you, because we did touch on every last point that you brought up. But my question to you is, who would control the money for the city to put back into the city? Because the question was brought up earlier, that always seems to be the problem. I mean, for Baltimore, for instance, you're from Baltimore, and they keep getting these lottery games here in the state of Maryland, correct? And always saying that they're going to give back to the community, but somehow it seems like the money never gets back to the community.
You know, that's where we as citizens have to be more active. We elect these people. We can put them into office. We can take them out. We don't even have to wait for the election season. You know, there is something called a recall where if enough citizens sign a petition, you can go and get your representative hauled out of that seat. And you're absolutely right. Time and time again, they make promises to people, like with the lottery, they're going to give the money to education, and then they divert it. You know, Frederick Douglass says, power concedes nothing without a demand. As long as we remain asleep and not active, they will continue to run any game on us that they want. You know, we have to be more active as citizens. We have to get up and we have to speak loudly. We got to go down to the city council or to the state office building in Annapolis, wherever it is, and let these people know what it is that we want. You know, they may have money, but we have numbers. And people get in these seats based on the vote. And so, you know, it's on us to talk to our neighbors, to talk about these things, to talk it up, to get involved, and to go down there. And when we have people who don't do what they say that they're going to, after we elect them, we ought to pull them out of office and replace them with somebody that will do the right thing.
Nick, this is Coach Coop. Let me ask you a question just on a, not on a lighter side, but as a fan of a game. I know you heard this comment before, but when you hear a player that's already making $25 million and he's in the negotiation of a contract, and he makes a comment that, that $25 million is not enough for me, that I need to be able to feed my family, how does that capture you?
I'm absolutely outraged. I feel the same way about them as I feel about these Wall Street crooks that are in the news right now. You know, we look to our sports heroes. We hold them up as icons. We tell our children that they are models and examples to be followed. How many of us who buy the tickets and go to the stadium have anywhere near a $25 million or a $10 million salary? You know, what would really be revolutionary and what would really infuse pride into our communities is if some of these mega money-making sports stars would take a portion of that money and publicly announce, I'm making $25 million. How many SUVs do you need? Do you really need an Olympic-sized swimming pool in your house? I mean, you need a football field to park all your cars? And you want all this bling? Take half of that salary and say you're going to donate it to the city that you came from to revitalize the neighborhood, to give money to the schools to take children on trips, to provide scholarships. Then they would be heroes and icons.
Nick, you were right on point with that, but, you know, you need to stay out of my driveway.
I'm trying to get this message to the people, brother.
Yeah. Hold on one second, Nick. I'm going to see if we can get this other 301 area code in here. If you can hold on a sec, Nick. Area code 301-58, are you on the line? Hello, Carl?
That's me. I'm still holding.
Okay. I'll try one more time. We're trying to reach the caller with area code 301, ending in 58. Are you there? Okay. We seem to be having technical difficulties. That must be one of the players taking money from our budget here.
while we got that break, Coach. And, Nick, I want you to stay on the line because we've got some great dialogue here along with Coach Kevin, Coach F, and myself. But let me just take a couple minutes to thank our sponsors, as always. We always like to thank those that keep us on the air. And I'd like to start off, as always, with Plan B Anywhere. For sports shirts, sports apparel, go to Plan B Anywhere, located in White Marsh, Maryland. And, Coach, you know, time's coming up. Time to work out. Time to get ready. You want to look good. Have a desire to increase our belief, build our character, determination, heart, and pride. And it's only one place to go, Coach. One place only. And that's Velocity Sports Performance. That's right, Velocity Sports Performance, located at 1427 Clarkview Road in Mount Washington, Maryland. Mention our ad that you heard it here on Nighthawks Radio, and I might be able to come up with some great special deals and other promotions. Hey, tired of fighting traffic in downtown Baltimore, just want to get away, not want to get home to those screaming kids and their loving wife, stop off at Peace and a Cup of Joe. Calm yourself down after leaving work before you head home. That's right, Peace and a Cup of Joe for a great cup of coffee, great atmosphere, and a place, just plain place to relax. You can go there at 713 West Pratt Street for that nice cup of coffee. And also, Zeke's Coffee, seller of whole coffee beans, Coach. I said whole, not half, but whole coffee beans. You can get Zeke's Coffee by the cup or by the pound.
Only at Zeke.
At Zeke. At Waverly Farmers Market, Eddie's Market, and markets in Charles Village, and a host of other locations. You can go to www.zekescoffee.com for more information. Let's see, Coach. We mentioned our great atmosphere. We mentioned the Pink Ribbon Bowl. And,
hey, I got a question for you, Coach.
What's that,
this Saturday, Pink Ribbon Bowl, Care for Coleman, Breast Cancer Awareness coming up. I wonder if Nick is going to attend the game. Nick, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear. We have a great fundraiser coming up, Care for Coleman. We're here for promoting breast cancer awareness. We have a game coming up, the Baltimore Nighthawks versus the D.C. Diva. We just want to know, Nick, will you be our special guest and attend the game on Saturday at 1 o'clock at Polytech High School?
I've got a conflict on Saturday, brothers, but you say it's at 1 o'clock?
1 o'clock
I tell you what. I'm sorry?
1 o'clock on Saturday at Baltimore Polytech High School. We'll leave a ticket at the gate. Because you're our caller here tonight, Nick, and we want to appreciate you calling in. So we want to give you a ticket to come see professional women's football.
All right, then I tell you what, I'll change my plan so I can make it.
Okay,
to support
well,
support this wonderful show.
Just tell them Coach F left you a ticket at the gate, and they'll give you a gate, and it'll be an experience that you'll never forget. Trust me, Nick.
All right, I'll take your word for it, and I'll be there.
Hey, Nick, if you bring a canned grocery now, you might have a chance to win $10,000 if you got a great arm.
How much, Coach?
Ten. You heard it here. $10,000, Coach.
$10,000. Great giveaway at halftime, Nick. We having the football toss for $10,000.
Okay. So what do I do? Bring some canned goods?
Just bring a canned good, Nick, and what's going to happen? You're going to get a raffle ticket. The more canned goods you get, the more raffle tickets you'll get to be tossed in the hat. And if you get selected, Nick, you get a chance to win $10,000 for a football toss, and then you can go out and buy your own franchise.
All right, brothers, I will definitely be there. And I tell you what, if I win, I'm going to follow your advice and pay my players a reasonable salary, not an exorbitant salary. And we're going to take some of the proceeds from my franchise and see if we can't make this city a little better.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Nick.
Okay. Hey, guys, I love the show. You're doing a great job. I'll definitely be listening. I don't want to dominate the airways, but I will definitely be tuning in to hear what you guys have to say. I mean, this is a program that takes this thing beyond the usual discussion, and I think it's great. So my hat's off to you, brothers, okay?
I appreciate it, Nick.
Appreciate
and, you know,
it,
if you're in a chance, when you go back in the Blog Talk Radio that you know that gives us this forum, we've got several of the shows that that are cataloged, and feel free to go in and listen to those and just enjoy what you hear. Got any comment? Give us a call back.
Appreciate
okay.
it, Nick. We'll see you on Saturday at 1 o'clock.
You got it.
Okay, thanks.
Take
a
care.
Lot. Well, that brings us to the segment of the show where we're going to talk about current sporting events, Coach. We introduced this last week. Couple minutes of the show, we're going to talk about current sporting events. So what's on your current sporting event menu for this week, Coach?
Hey, the NCAA, Coach. March Madness. What else? What else is in there?
Yes, it is, Coach. March Madness kicked off, I believe, today. Ain't that right, Coach?
Yes, it is. It's kicked off today, and I think one of the results are just in. Maryland upset California, and they made it to the second round, so that's a plus. I know their hopes were high that they were even lucky to get a seed, to get a seed, so they're there.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you, Coach. One of my my old alma mater, Morgan State University, is also in the big dance. Morgan State University, go Fighting Bears! They're on as we speak, Coach.
Well, my hats off to them and all the great teams that were able to make it to the NCAA championship. It's a great honor. I know they fought hard. And those gentlemen, too. I mean, if you look at the quality of the games, Coach, I mean, that's a great market, a great venue. Those kids play their hearts out at a very with no pay. So, I mean, you get that kind of effort, and you got to love the stadium, the pack. I mean, I'm not trying to put down pro basketball, but I went to a game in the last 2 minutes. They decided to wake up and play.
You got a point there, Coach. I have a question for you. What do you think about the NFL headlines for the week?
Well, you know, I didn't have an opportunity to do that, Coach. I was doing some other research, and it's been keeping me busy. Of course, I've been focusing on the Nighthawks and. Getting ready for some program, getting ready for the Coleman Foundation, because I needed to put my efforts there to generate some revenue for that cause, Coach. So my focus was there this week, and I don't want to apologize, but I thought that was
well, you know, Coach, no apology necessary. That's why you're the assistant head coach, and I'm the head coach. I'm able to multitask a little better than you on a weekly basis, Coach. So what I'm gonna say about this, Coach, I'm gonna give you the headlines for the week. We're talking quarterback controversy in Denver, Coach. What do you think about the controversy going on in Denver? And I think that just piqued your interest real quick, didn't it, Coach? The quarterback in Denver is feuding with the Denver Broncos, is saying that he want to be moved. What do you think about that, Coach?
Well, they just got rid of their head coach, so I guess he does want to be moved.
Yeah. They said Cutler is unhappy, and the new coach that came in from Buffalo, I mean, from the New England Patriots that took over the helm of the Denver team, came in trying to recruit the quarterback from New England, and Cutler didn't take a liking to that, Coach. I mean, he's a Pro Bowl quarterback, Coach. Can you believe a Pro Bowl quarterback is being threatened from his job from a rookie who is basically unknown to last year?
Coach, it's just like anything else. You got a new coach who has a different philosophy, a different system coming in, and that particular player doesn't seem to fit in that mindset. I'm sure he met with him, and he probably didn't like what he heard. I'm sure he talked with other players on the team and looked at the pass record, and he looked at another player that came from a franchise that was well-disciplined, and he could be a well-disciplined coach himself. And he liked what we saw, and he opted to go with that player. I mean, and there again, there's no consistency. We talked about earlier with players. You could have that night, whatever jersey number he is in New England, and now he's gone, or this player in the Broncos with Cutler being unhappy. You know, that market's gone, and he's gone somewhere else.
Yeah, Coach, but let me just set this up for you. You're a Pro Bowl quarterback in Denver, and a new coach is taking over. Mike Shanahan is out of there, your beloved coach, and a new coach comes in, and the first thing he does is try to recruit a quarterback from his former team. How would that make you feel, Coach? I mean, where's the loyalty? Where is the respect that's due to me as a Pro Bowl quarterback, where the coach should at least sit down and tell me what it is that he's planning to do and whether I do or don't fit into the picture of his future plans? But to do this openly out in the public as a Pro Bowl quarterback, I think you kind of got a right to feel some type of way about that, Coach.
Well, Coach, no doubt I'm going to be upset about it, but you know, sometimes, you know, we have to look within ourselves as well. You know, I mean, yeah, I could want, you know, that the opportunity for that coach to consider me, But if my play sucked over the past season, if I didn't perform, and there was, I mean, there was not the fact that, I mean, I was over, if I was overthrowing people or throwing the ball in the dirt or making bad decisions on the field, I mean, I have to look within first. And,
you know, you have to take a look. Is that the case, though?
Well, that's not the case because Cutler made the Pro Bowl last year. He's a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Exactly.
So we're talking, and he's a relatively new player to the league. He's only been in the league 3 years.
So the new head coach came in with the mindset that he was going to replace him regardless.
And that's my point. And as a three-year veteran of the NFL, a Pro Bowl quarterback, nothing but an upside, and this is how you treat your number one player on the team.
Well, once again, overpaid.
Well, but not only that, Coach, not only overpaid, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, there is no loyalty, there is no sense of honor. It's a business, and just like anything else, if you got a guy that you came from Burger King that was putting out Max Fries as opposed to you being there doing two fries a carload, and I can get somebody to do four or five carloads with, you know, Max Fries, I'm bringing them with me, you know, because I'm trying to maximize and maximize my business, and it's nothing against him.
And so basically you're saying it's a familiarity that the coach wanted to bring somebody into a system that he was familiar with and basically comfortable with,
yeah,
and felt that he can groom this individual for the upside of what he wanted to create this franchise to be.
Well, Coach, I think he's looking to make an immediate impact with no long, drawn-out rebuilding issue with the franchise. He's trying to start out as a winner. He's trying to get up on board and get ahead of the game and still be able to compete. And if he's got to sit there and educate someone to a new system, and if they're not coming to the OTAs and not participating in that venue, not doing anything to get better, you can't blame him for wanting to get ahead of the game.
So just because he comes in like that, all of a sudden there's a quarterback out of a job just because he's
Coach, it's a business. You know it's a business. And like I told you before, if he's not happy with that, he can take his college degree and go back and make $120,000 a year, or he can stay with me on the team, sit on the bench, and draw $30, $40 million.
Well, it looks like the New York Jets are going to benefit from that anyway. So,
yeah, well,
Cutler won't be out there long.
Yeah, he definitely won't. He has nothing but an upside, and that's today's NFL market. No loyalty, no rhyme, and no reason at some point in time. But only people that can understand it is the people that are sitting at the table. We're going to have to wrap it up here, Coach. It's been a fantastic show. We want to thank all the callers that called in. Coach Kevin, thank you for being a guest coach on our show today.
My pleasure,
much appreciated. Coach Coop, pleasure as usual. And remember our slogan here, Coach Coop, here at Blog Talk Radio, Nighthawks Radio, we own the night. Everybody's opinion is appreciated when they call into the show. There are no good opinions. There are no bad opinions. It's only simply your opinion. That's we're going to wrap it up. Thank you. God bless and good night.